I just need to apologize that the NCLP setting is nearly coming to an end. I just logged out there, but can we just give members a few more minutes as they are concluding on the questions to the MECs, as it is a very important sitting with the topic on vaccination with the department and the minister and MEC, all MECs of health in the NCLP today. So I will ask for your indulgence that we give the members another 5 minutes as the sitting is about to conclude, so that members just get time to log in. Thank you. The members who are still in the sitting can join us later as we go along. Can I ask for the agenda to be flagged, please? Tabele, can you flag the agenda for us, please?
Sorry, I'm just walking into the meeting, guys. Excuse me.
Okay, my dear. The agenda of the Select Committee on Health and Social Services agenda for today is the opening and welcome by the chairperson, then it's apologies, then we will get a briefing by DSD and the COVID-19 stimulus relief fund packages audit report. Then we will have discussions and responses. And then from 6 o'clock, we will have consideration and adoption of the Department of Women, Youth, Persons with Disabilities budget vote report and the adoption of committee minutes. Can I have a mover for the adoption of the agenda, please? Members, can I have a mover for the adoption of the agenda, please?
Chair, I move.
Thank you, Chabaleng. Is there a seconder for the adoption?
Lee.
Thank you, Member Lee. Okay, members, let me take the opportunity to welcome the minister. And the Department of DSD into this important meeting. Let me also take the opportunity to welcome all members of the Select Committee in this meeting. I think, Minister, this meeting is long overdue, but we also need to apologize from our side that because of the program of the NCLP, this meeting had to be postponed, but we are very glad that at last we can have this meeting and looking forward into the deliberations between the members of the Select Committee, yourself and your department. Without any further ado, feel welcome in this meeting. I want to find out if there's any apologies in this meeting. Tabele. Okay, according to, let me just apologize for myself, he's got experiencing technical problems. But Tabele is here to assist us if we need anything. Marcel will communicate with me through WhatsApp. According to Marcel, there is no apologies to this meeting. So I will immediately hand over to the minister. Thank you, Minister Zulu.
Thank you very much. Oh, I must remove my mask. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I am sorry that I am not in my own office. As you can see behind me, I am in the office of Minister Thobo Didiza of Agriculture. We happen to be doing some other work, and I'm assisting in that regard. So I didn't have enough time to run away from here. But I, Chairperson, you know, we are just one government, and therefore we have to utilize the time. I wanted to make sure that I'm on time and not delay, because firstly, I would not like to delay the department as in its portfolio. As you are aware, Chairperson and honorable members, we are a portfolio, which is the Department of Social Development, SASA and NDA. And I am very much aware of the fact that the entire portfolio has been meeting before we got to where we are right now. And they have been engaging with the Auditor General. And therefore, I am confident, Chairperson, that what is going to be presented here will be almost a progress report in a way, because we are very much aware of the reason why we had to have these measures and this relief fund in particular. And this relief fund came at a very important time when most vulnerable in society were at risk of losing their livelihoods. And of course, the government of the African National Congress, as led by President Cyril Ramaphosa, needed to step up and respond in particular to those of our own who were vulnerable. But I do also want, Chairperson, to indicate that due to COVID-19, for us, it went beyond those that were vulnerable. Even those who had been able to take care of their livelihoods, who had been able to take care and fend for themselves, they fell into the category of people that needed to be assisted by the government, because COVID-19 came at a time when, of course, we were also having our economy that was struggling, but COVID-19 had an impact beyond our economy. It had an impact even on lives and livelihoods of our people. So we swiftly tried to move as fast as possible to ensure that all recipients receive their support measures. We had to develop means and technology to reach as many vulnerable people as possible in a short space of time, taking into account the restrictions and all. And I think that SASA in particular will go deeper into that. But when all is said and done, also it's about responding to the Auditor General. But I think the background to why we are here and how we got here is very important. The quickest way to reach millions of poor households was to top up the existing social grants. However, we realized that there was another group of people that we needed to reach over the current 18 million or so. We managed to reach an additional 6 million new people in a space of 6 months. And we are all aware of the fact that that SRD, which we call the Social Relief of Distress of the 350, the president introduced it and asked us as a DSD portfolio to implement it. It was extended and then it was stopped at some point. And then we had to start it again, because clearly everybody can see that the impact of COVID-19 is not about to leave us. And we have seen even the latest reports in as far as jobs and the job losses are concerned. So it was important for the government to decide to extend this. And I think SASA would also go into in-depth of describing, for instance, how many people in the past did get, how many people did we receive, applications did we receive, how many did we process, and what systems did we use to get through to people. So I do not want to be the one to take the time, save to thank you, Chairperson. thank the honorable members who are here today and say to them, we are working together to make sure that we change the lives of our people. What we call prosperity, we believe that it's a prosperity not only for those who have today and those who are capable, but prosperity must extend to even those who do not have. And of course, we are mindful of the controls that we need to put in place. We have largely done so, especially with regard to the second iteration. Of SASSA, but I would like members also not to look at this stimulus relief fund package in isolation of the broader programs that the government had, and not only from a point of view of DSD, but broadly, because we believe that every other department has got an impact also in the work that we do. And in particular with this stimulus relief fund package, it's important for us because we are also looking for opportunities of how to improve our systems, how to even improve service delivery. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I will now hand over back to you, but it will be the department as led by the ADG, Mr. Kunu, as well as the CEO of SASSA, and the CEO of NDA, the CEO of SASSA being Dr. I also indicate, Chair, that I will be here throughout the period, but for now, in the time that they're starting to make the presentation, I will run back to finish the other meeting and come back to this one in another 10-15 minutes. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you, Minister. I will hand over to the department to continue with the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Minister. Thank you for the remarks. Let me also greet all Honorable Members, the Deputy Minister, and members of the committee, including staff and that we flight the presentation on the screen. I'm not sure whether the Secretariat is going to help us with it or whether we should do it from our side. Should we ask the Secretary to help us, Chair? I just need guidance whether we will flag it or whether it will be flagged by ourselves or the Secretariat.
Tabile, can you assist them?
Tabile. Good afternoon, Chair and colleagues. The department can flag.
Thank you very much, Chair. If we could put on slide presentation formats. Thanks. We can move to the next slide. Without waste of time, Chair, I just wanted to just make about three or four points at a high level. As ministers already provided the context with regards to the time frame in which the grant was provided, we were, of course, as Minister indicated, requested to do this in a very short space of time. So that we provide the necessary support to those in need. This was, of course, as part of the entire social and economic relief measures that the president announced. We were given a large sum of money in this regard to be able to provide support to the most vulnerable, as the minister has indicated. Just want to indicate that we had about R1 billion or so that was given for the social relief of distress, 500 million, which was given to SASSA for social relief of distress, and another 500 million rand given to the provincial departments of social development, which was processed by equitable share to all provinces. This amount of money, of course, would because this was for social relief of distress in terms of food parcels, etc. Of course, we utilize a hybrid model, which is food parcels, cash, and food vouchers. That amount of money was not necessarily audited, but all of that went off in a very good manner with all systems and processes and controls in place. Of course, the other measures that we had to provide the grants for were with regards to the top-ups, the grants, and we had about 250 Rand for all grants that was provided, and of course about, I think it was 500 Rand for caregivers that was provided in terms of top-ups here. And then we had the 350 social stress, which was provided, and I think the first allocation was around 34 billion, 33 billion Rand. And I think with the continuation, we moved slightly higher to around 40 billion Rand or so for the 350 grant. I just want to flag an important aspect that the AG has raised in his report. And of course, this was not only related to us, but it cuts across other organizations as well with regards to the relief measures. The AG raised a serious concern around the interface between government agencies and government departments' databases, and more so the alignment in that regard. So, it became quite apparent that people were either defrauding the system or were either double dipping, etc., in a range of areas. And on that note, we were also found wanting in that regard, in that some of our data was not necessarily the most accurate and the most real-time data that we needed to verify people, for example, with SARS, and for example, with other organizations. So we've met with the AG to try and resolve this issue, and I think we've moved a great step now in that we've agreed the AG has shared with us not the databases as such, but have indicated that these are the areas that you need to also look at, so that you are not paying people who are getting some level of relief, whether it be through sports or arts and culture or any other mechanism in this regard. So we've worked and we've moved a great deal. We have agreed with the AG that we are going to indicate to them when we are going to access the data, so that when they also check that it's not, we don't access it today and they don't access it 3 weeks later, which of course there will merely be a change in that regard. So this is really just the high level. Specifics, well, ask the CEO of SASSA and the team to really take us through the specific aspects with regards to the findings by the AG, as well as the corrective measures that we've put in place and where we are moving towards. Of course, just to also indicate, as the minister has indicated, as we move to the second iteration, we believe that we've put very strong controls in place to avert any possible challenges that we've previously experienced. Thank you very much, Chair. Our CEO, Sasa, to come in now, and the team with regards to the remainder of the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good afternoon to you, to the members of the committee, to the DM colleagues and the minister. And thanks, Minister, again for giving the context in terms of the issues that we had to face at the time. It's very important to highlight that at the time when the president announced the program, we needed to make sure that first and foremost, we build a new system, because we could not utilize our existing and current system for this particular program, because again, it had to be a web-based system, but also we needed to make sure that we use a different process in terms of, as different from our current model in terms of how we actually operate. It's important to indicate that a number of lessons have been learned through this process, and it helped us in terms of establishing the new framework in terms of how people were going to get the current reiterated a new grant, because we still call it new, hence people have to reapply. What was important for us at the time was to do the top-ups that were announced by the president, but also make sure that we create the environment for the SRD 350, which we've been able to do over the period. And the interesting thing is that each time we had to start and stop, we had to start from scratch in terms of making sure that we realign, we put in place the measures that we need to put in place. Many learnings have come from this process, and as we'll be able to see, is that in terms of the new framework, then there's a whole lot of data that we've started getting, which will help, I think, we believe, the country in terms of putting in place other programs for the future in terms of how do we deal with unemployment, especially unemployment of the youth, because we'll have sufficient data as an institution to be able to assist government as a whole to deal with some of the challenges we have. We believe we should be able in future to also use this data that we have for anti-poverty alleviation programs for government as a whole. Chair, without wasting time, I'm going to ask Diane Dunkley, who is our executive responsible for grant, to go through the presentation. Thank you, Chair. Diane.
Thank you so much, CEO, and good afternoon to the Deputy Minister, to Chair, and to the Honourable Members. I'm going to run through this presentation, and this is specifically for the audit findings that were for the audit that was done for the period from May until the end of August last year, and just highlight where we are in terms of addressing those findings. Just as an introduction, to say to members that over the period from May until the end of April of this year, which was the first round of the 350 grant, we've actually paid in excess of 68 million grants over and above the normal grants that we deal with. But if we can look then at the specific areas that the Auditor General had focused on, and we'll start with the social relief food parcels, go through the top-up grants, and then move on to the 350 grant. If we can go to the next slide, please. Thank you. The next one. The findings from the Auditor General was very much around the lack of controls. And I think the CEO had indicated that one of the primary reasons for this was that we had to implement manual processes. Remembering that when we implemented the food parcel distribution, it was under the very hard lockdown in April of last year. So there were control weaknesses identified by the AG. There were also areas in the distribution that perhaps the food parcels didn't get to people quickly enough. Some of the items had been damaged on delivery. The other finding by the AG at the time was that the administrative cost of the food parcels was very high, particularly when compared to the costs paid by social development. And I will speak to this a little bit later. And then one of the findings was a lack of coordination within the sector in the distribution of food parcels, in that SASSA was providing food parcels, social development was providing food parcels. We had a number of NGOs that came into the environment in that period that were also providing, and there was very little coordination between this. So some people did get multiple food parcels and other people were not able to access it at all. If we can continue. Right, I've given the context. We also provided short-term contracts that were awarded to new service providers. And this was one of the reasons why the administrative costs were relatively high, was that the service providers came in on very short-term contracts. It was a six-month contract and helped us to be able to deliver over the short period. And then one of the areas that we did highlight to the AG was that it was very difficult for them to compare the administrative costs that SASSA paid for a completely different model of providing food parcels to that was used by social development, where they use their existing infrastructure through the community nutrition and development centers that had been built up over a number of years. In terms of the corrective measures that we've implemented to address these findings, was firstly that the existing contracts, those short-term contracts that we entered into, all expired at the end of June of last year. We did not extend the contracts for food parcels. What we agreed to as SASSA was that we would not continue providing food parcels. However, as a sector, we would continue with a hybrid model where relief would be provided in the form of food parcels as well as vouchers or cash. And we also have since gone out on a request for information for e-vouchers to see whether those would be easier to get support to people. We're currently in an open tender process for that, where the specifications have been advertised and we're waiting for responses that would then be evaluated, and hopefully we'd get service providers on board. This will really assist the process because you won't have people queuing for food parcels, but rather get the voucher to their phone, or in another way, if they don't have phones, and be able to then go and buy the goods that they need themselves without being told what it is that they should have. where there were anomalies in the delivery, the content, and the quality of the food that was provided, those have all been referred to our fraud and compliance unit so that the matters are being investigated. We made very sure that where there were damaged food parcels, that those were in fact not paid for. However, in terms of compliance with the contracts, that is being investigated by the fraud and compliance unit. And then we have continued after the manual issuing of the food parcels, we have continued with the process to reconcile so that we're able to account for every single food parcel that was issued, even while we were following manual processes. If we can continue. This, Chairperson and Honourable Members, is where we are currently with the reconciliation. You'll see that all of the provinces have updated their reconciliation. There are a few anomalies that we're still busy dealing with. For example, in Eastern Cape, there were 33 duplicates in the uploading. And if I can explain that, what we did was, because we issued manually, we captured onto our system after the fact. And then we also did some systematic uploads of the information. And in that process, there were duplicates. These are now being resolved. It does not mean that the food parcels were provided in duplicate. It is a process in terms of reconciling on our system that was duplicated. Free State has reconciled. There's no difference there. Gauteng has reconciled. They have a difference of 288. This came about because they had captured the originally approved people to receive the food parcels. Those people did not show to collect the food parcels, and the food parcels were issued to replacement citizens, and they captured them again instead of cancelling the original ones that were not issued. So they're just busy finalising that now, and then they will also balance. KZN and Limpopo, there's no differences, and those have been fully reconciled, and we can account for the food parcels that were issued. With Mpumalanga, there's only a difference of 9, and those, there were 5 that had ID numbers that couldn't be captured because they didn't match what was with Home Affairs. The Mpumalanga staff are working with Home Affairs to resolve this, and then after having issued the food parcels, 4 of the citizens who received them subsequently passed away, and then we can't capture on our system because that record is now closed. Northern Cape, there was a difference of 1, but that was a food parcel that was not issued because the food parcel was actually spoiled. We did not pay for that. So Northern Cape balances as well. In Northwest, there was a difference of 628, but that was because they were food parcels issued outside of the audit time frame. They've all been accounted for, so there is no difference with what was issued in Northwest. And then in the Western Cape, there's still a difference of 347. The Western Cape has resolved the 190, so it's just the balance that they're still busy resolving. And this is the situation at the moment. So the reconciliation has been finalized, and we are able to account for all the food parcels that were issued. Thank you. Then if we go to the audit findings around the procurement process for the food parcels, if we can move. The Auditor General found that there was a lack of planning. And this went right back to when the initial bid was advertised and could not be finalized in time. There were a number of issues that came in, and the Auditor General felt that if we'd have planned it better, we wouldn't have had that finding. We did use service providers that had been approved for us to go out and use them, that had been approved by National Treasury. So we did not go outside on a deviation by ourselves. It was supported by National Treasury, and they allowed us to contract with service providers who had passed the functionality assessment with the original bid that was subsequently cancelled. The Auditor General felt that some of the areas in the evaluation were not done as thoroughly as they should have, that they also picked up some possible collusive bidding that the evaluation committee didn't pick up. The appointment of the service providers was made at the end of March 2020, and that was one of the areas that the AG also raised concerns about. It takes some time to get them in place, And because it was a 6-month contract, the contract only ran to the end of June. So effectively, we only had 4 months of the service providers on board to provide the food parcels. If we can continue. Just in terms of what we where we are now, the matters that had been raised, particularly around the possible collusive bidding, they have been investigated by both the SIU and the public protector. SASSA has provided detailed responses to both of these organizations, and we're just waiting for the final outcome there. As I said, in terms of appointing the service provider, we did act in accordance with the approvals that had been given by National Treasury. So we did not deviate outside of what was approved by Treasury. And then, as I said earlier, we've issued a request for information for e-vouchers. We received a number of responses for that. And based on information gathered, we then drafted the specifications for an e-voucher for the support for social relief going forward. And we are currently in a completely open tender process for those service providers to come on board. Thank you. The next area that the Auditor General then audited was around the top-up grants. As members will remember, the top-up grants was an additional amount of 250 Rand added to every existing grant for the period from May to October, and an amount of 500 Rand added to the caregivers who were receiving child support grants for the period from June to October. The finding from the AG was that the process to implement this, because we had to do system adjustments, was not adequately quality assured, so that in the first month in May, when we did pay them, there were some double payments in Western Cape and Northern Cape, and late payments in Free State and KwaZulu-Natal. If we can move. This, as I said, there were system adjustments that had to be made, and at the same time, we were also implementing these staggered payments of grants, and the quality assurance wasn't where it was supposed to be. However, in terms of the corrective measures implemented, all the double payments were recovered, and the AG has acknowledged that there was, in fact, no loss to the state. We were able to get all that money back. We did also, for the payments that started late, everybody was still able to access their money in the month of May, despite the fact that some of them were a day or two late. We've also since put in additional steps to be able to verify the payment files before we release these on a monthly basis. And this has definitely borne fruit, because we've not had double payments since the May incident of last year. And then there were corrective measures implemented with CETA. They're the ones that help us with our extraction of our payment files. And there was consequence management that was managed in terms of the CETA personnel, as well as the SASSA personnel, who did not do the quality assurance as it should have been done. Thank you. We then move on to the big one, which is the special relief grant of 350 a month. And there were a number of findings here. If we go to the next slide. The AG's findings were particularly around a lack of data integration across government. And this still remains a challenge, that all government departments sit with a huge amount of data that is relevant to their area, but there is not a comprehensive picture of the citizen held within one area within government, where we can easily and quickly see what support those citizens are accessing. And as a result of this lack of data integration, there was the potential of grants being paid to individuals who were not distressed. And I do phrase it as potential, because the AG gave us a number of findings. We then needed to go step by step and see which ones were genuinely paid to people who did not qualify, and which ones did were paid, although identified by AGSA, were in fact paid correctly. AGSA identified 67,770 grants that they felt had been paid when they should not have been paid. And I'll go through, and you'll see that we came out with just over 31,000 that were in fact paid incorrectly. What in terms of the corrective measures that we had implemented, as the AG identified these possible overpayments or payments to incorrect beneficiaries, we then stopped payments to future you know, any future payments of the grant to those beneficiaries so that we didn't lose any more money even while we were doing the investigation. The other thing that we've implemented and we continue to implement for the 350 grant is that there are monthly validations done across all the databases that we have access to. So it doesn't matter what the decision was made in the previous month. In the new month, we will go and validate those against the updated information that we've received to make sure that on a month-by-month basis, the beneficiaries do in fact qualify for this grant. This is not a grant that is provided for a period of a number of months. It is a month-by-month grant so that a decision can change from 1 month to the next. From November of 2020, we started means testing all of those applicants who had appealed the decision not to award the grant. So where we'd said people did not qualify and they came back and said, no, but we definitely don't have an income, we're appealing against that decision. We implemented means testing through the banks against a zero threshold so that it meant if there was any inflow into that bank account in the month preceding the month that we're making the decision for, then the grant would not have been awarded. We also referred the high value matters to our fraud and compliance unit, and our fraud and compliance unit continues to work with the Fusion Center to deal with these. And some of the really high value ones were particularly with businessmen who had contracts with the state and still applied for the 350 grant. And for some of these where the information is strong enough, we've actually opened criminal cases as well. And that investigation continues. This, and I'm not going to go through all of them, these are just the findings from the AG against the different databases that they had access to. I have indicated where SASSA had access to a database. We do need to say that there was a number of databases that AG had access to that we did not have, despite having asked for them throughout the period right up to the end of April. You will see as we go through these very quickly that the high numbers were from people who were receiving funding through the NSFAS, the National Student Funding Aid Scheme, through UIF, and then the IRP file with the really high number ones. And these just give you the numbers of what the AG found. If we can just continue. The next page again is explaining that AG found 241 people who on Purcell, meaning that they were public employees. Those ones are also investigated, and we've also raised it with the Department of Public Service and Administration. So we are working with DPSA on those. The one that I just want to point out is the 4,589 where AG found people were receiving social grants as well as getting the 350. The majority of those were in fact not genuine because it was based on a timing issue. So where AG looked at the grant paid in the current month, we were looking at grants paid in the preceding month related to the decision that was made. So if, for example, somebody was being considered for the grant in August, we would look to see whether they received a social grant in July. If there was no grant received, then we actually paid the 350 grant. So those were really around a timing issue, and we have addressed those with the AG. If we can go to the next one. You'll see the big numbers are around UIF and UIF, the TERS scheme, the specific scheme for the employers to help retain some employees. We have since this time negotiated with UIF, and we have a very good working relationship with them in that we are getting refreshed databases on a monthly basis. Most of these findings, again, came because some of the databases were perhaps a month or two old. For this round of the grant, we are getting monthly databases from UIF on the 15th of every month so that it helps us make sure we are really working with current data as much as possible. On the directors of companies, the AGSA found that there were 1,513 directors of companies who had government contracts and who applied for the 350 grant. As I said, this is being dealt with our fraud and compliance unit, working very closely with the Fusion Center so that we're able to process. the state or to take money that people are not entitled to. When we started with this grant, and CEO did mention this as she started, we were under huge pressure to pay people as quickly as possible. So the decision was made that we would use whatever we had available and make the best information possible or the best decision possible based on that information. But that as we progressed, we would get progressively more and more databases that would help us refine the decisions that we've made. Acting DG also mentioned right up front that we've had a number of engagements with the auditor, with AGSA, and they have given us the databases that they use to validate these applications so that we can also go and negotiate with those departments and get the same databases or at least get databases so that we're able to validate and to certainly make a lot more accurate decisions. As I said right at the beginning, one of the challenges within government is the need to have a single comprehensive view of citizens that really starts speaking to all government departments sharing their data, where we have a complete data source of every single citizen in this country. And that would really help to roll out programs like the 350 grant a lot more effectively. And I know that this challenge is being taken very seriously by the presidency, and they are working on trying to address it across all of government departments. Thank you. So that in summary is where we are on the AG findings with that original audit report. And we're just asking the select committee to note the findings, but also to note the interventions that we have implemented so that we can reduce the risk of repeat findings going forward. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Chair, that brings us to the end of the presentation. We have done, so we can hand over to itself. Thank you very much. Thanks, colleagues.
Thank you, Mr. Linton, and your team. Members, the presentation was presented to the committee. Is can I have hands of members who's got any questions? Honorable Christians, can continue.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Chairperson, can I switch off my video? I'm having a little bit of issues with my camera or with network connectivity.
That's fine, member.
Thank you. Chairperson, I just want to ask about the social development, the amount spent on the social relief package, as well as the food parcels thus far. If the department can just give us an amount that was spent there. And then also with regard to the food parcels, SASSA has distributed 146,936 food parcels. Now, these were distributed via a manual application, which didn't work as efficiently as what it was supposed to, with the result that the AG reported things like inadequate planning and coordination, inadequate controls over distribution of food parcels, etc. Now, with regard to these food parcels distributed, does the department have a more efficient way in the future of distributing these food parcels that does not include a manual application? Also considering and taking into account that the distribution of these food parcels could be done more fairly across all the provinces if it was an electronic application. And then, is there any progress from SASSA with regard to the investigation of the 67,000 people who had received a grant to which they were not entitled to? What kind of investigation has been done? And has anyone been prosecuted with regard to these investigations as well? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Member Christians. Member Maleka.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. And greeting to the minister and the department officials and the colleagues. Chairperson, want to check, can the department and SASA provide information regarding the IT system investment, as the Auditor General highlighted several challenges with the IT system? And also, how many beneficiaries that had been overpaid in May 2020 and the amount of money that was overpaid as a result? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Member Maleka, Member Baga.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, let me apologize for being late. I was stuck on the other side. Maybe I don't know whether I would be asking a question that has already been raised or not, but you'll forgive me if that is the case. Chairperson, on the 67,000 plus, which you know, the AG indicates as money that was not supposed to be paid. Now, what is the process now with that? In the sense that, are there any chances of recoveries of monies that have been duly paid to people who are not supposed to get it? I did get a sense that there are prosecutions that might take place, but in terms of recoveries, is the money recoverable? And if so, how soon can that be? Then the other question just that I have is, you know, when you work with people, you get a sense that people say a lot of things. And at times they say things because they don't know who you are. Now, there are people who are getting a child support grant. And the same people are also getting the 350 rands as well. Now, I want to check, is that the right thing to do? Is that supposedly how it should be, that you are supported by government, but also you are also kind of taking in from the 350 as well? Because my interpretation is that if that is the case, there might be people who are unable to get anything from the government because there are people who are kind of double dipping, so to speak. So I just want to get a sense, Chairperson, of whether that is the right thing to do, or is it something that is illegal that people should not do at all? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Member Baga. We can move over to Member Lee.
Yeah, I got a problem just to you. Go ka sene letsela e o ka yone lefapha le ka dirisang go bona gore relief grant e bona ke bao ba matshwanedi go thibela gore e amogelwe ke bao ba itikanetse kwa malapeng kgotsa bao ba nang le letseno. Di 350 relief grant e kwa tlase thata go imolola bao ba segolobogolo ba ba senang letseno ntle le yone le lebetse ka moo dilo di leng tlhwatlhwa kwa godimo. Lefapha le ka dira yang gore le ka tlhatlhosanyana ka sengwenyana? Ka lebogo.
Thank you, Member Lai. Member Tshabaleng.
Thanks a lot, Chairperson. I've been kicked in and out of the meeting so many times, I might have missed some of the things Maybe some of the questions I'm going to ask were dealt with by the other members. Don Samuel, there's this 350 relief of the grant. On matters that were raised by the AG, one of the answers in terms of what they are doing as the department is that they've referred high value matters to fraud and compliance for investigation. I just want to check or know what is the process in terms of payments or any payments in the department, being them SASA, grants and or the 350 and others. Isn't there where people who are doing the processing of documents have to verify information and convince themselves that there is material, tangible material evidence that this is the right person to be given these funds? But now I wonder, how did they do that without verifying the info? And then what does the PFMA say? Because I think everything we do is guided by the Public Finance Management Act. What does it say in matters like this? And then what corrective measures were taken against those who did not apply their minds or apply the Public Finance Management Act? And on the matters that were raised by the AG chairperson, there were matters that were responded to. I just want to check or know, amongst those that I responded to, how many, or those that were corrected, how many are outstanding, and how far are we in resolving those matters as recommended by the AG? And of course, the reason why those others were not met, and by when will they be done? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Member Tshabalang, Member Tonkeni.
Chair. Afternoon, Chair.
Good afternoon, Member.
You can continue,
Member Tonkeni.
Oh, thank you, Chair. I'm covered by Honorable Tshabalang, especially on AG's reports, because I want to, can the department give us the progress made by AG in responding to the recommendation made by the AG, in the first and second special report? That's my question. But my Honorable Tshabalang have been covered me. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Member Tonkeni. Member Tuli. Member Tuli. Member Letuli, if you can hear me, can you unmute yourself? I think we've lost Member Letuli again. Over to you, Mr. Linton. I think we have covered all the members.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. Thank you indeed for all the questions from the honourable members. I will ask CEO that SASA responds, bulk of them with SASA, and then I will come in at the end just to make one or two comments related to some of the questions that have been raised. I will ask CEO if we can respond to all the questions that have been raised by the members. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much, DG. I'll answer some of the questions in terms of the detail, particularly with respect to the investigations. I'll ask Dr. Bela, who is our manager responsible for anti-fraud and investigations, to talk to where are we with all those investigations. And then I'll ask the CFO to talk to actually amount spent on us re-looking at the systems. What one must clarify is that when it comes to the current system that we use for our normal grants, is that we are using a legacy system which is difficult to change whenever we need to make changes. This is the reason why we have a plan to make sure that we change our current SOCPEN system and ensure that we use an updated system so that we don't have the challenges that we had, for example, at the time when we had to make changes quickly because we only had a window of 2 weeks for us to implement the top-ups. Yet in many instances, we need about 6 weeks lead time for us to be able to effect the changes. So our plan is to make sure that we update that system or look at a new system. On the system that we utilized for us to do the 350, it's a completely new system. And what we do is we ensure that we use the databases that we get. Hence the challenge becomes if the database is not correct that you've received or it's late or it's outdated, it creates problems. Is that we actually don't use manual systems in terms of the 350. We actually put the applicants through the different databases that we utilize for us to ensure that the people that we actually provide the grant are the correct people. The challenge becomes if the data, as the DG indicated upfront, if the data is not correct because the databases of government are not integrated, which is something that we believe is something that needs to be resolved by government as a whole to make sure that we have an integrated system and we have the same view of the citizen so that we don't have these particular challenges. Diane will talk to how much was overpaid. On the issue of collection, Dr. Bela will talk to what it is that we're doing together with the Fusion Center to make sure that not only do we collect, but that we also take corrective action for those with those people that actually defrauded the state. I thought it was important to explain the question that was raised by Member Mbaha with regards to the child support grant and the 350. It's very important to indicate that the child support grant is for the child. That particular grant is for the child and not necessarily for the parent. What we had in the previous process was we had care dependencies that were actually getting 500 rands as per the dispensation of the time, what had been decided. Currently, we for the first time have included also the mothers or the caregivers on the 350 because they did not get that grant before. The implications for us not giving anything to caregivers was that many women were actually excluded in the process. As we can see in this current process, many women are able to apply now and also are able to qualify in their own right. On the issue of the size of the grant, Member Lihi, unfortunately, it's not our call. As SASSA, we implement what government can provide in terms of what is is financially possible, and we then would implement that. Dr. Bela will talk to the process that we've used for collection and also to make sure that action is taken against the people. And Diane would talk to about the amount of money that we actually had. Thank you very much, Eche. Diane.
Thank you so much, CEO. Thank you, honorable members. In terms of the amount of money that we had for the social relief of distress grant, in the first iteration, it was 24 billion rand. For this round that starts from August, we have 26 billion rand. And we should see increased numbers this time around. There was a question also about how much had we spent on the social relief food parcels in the period in April and May. SASSA alone spent 177 million, but that doesn't include the amount that was spent by social development. They also used their own, and there would have been money in both the from the national level as well as the provinces that was spent on food relief in that period. The one thing I just wanted to clarify before Dr. Bila comes in, the AG identified the 67,770 grants that had been paid that shouldn't have been paid. When we did the comparison against all the information that we had to make sure that this was in fact correct, the number that we confirmed as having been paid when it should not have been paid was 31,955. And the total amount that is linked to that number of grants is just over 11 million rand. So that would have been the amount that was paid incorrectly. There was a question around the payments in May, the duplicate payments that were made for the normal grants as a result of the system challenge and the lack of quality assurance before the payment files went out. I don't have the numbers offhand, but I can confirm to the honourable members that no money was lost at all. We were able to recover all of that money that had been paid out, that the duplicate payments had been made, and this was confirmed by AGSA when they came back to do their follow-up audit on that one. Thank you so much, members. Dr. Bela? Hlengani, can you come through with how far we've gone with the investigations?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, and the CEO. Basically, after receiving information from AG, we had to work with Fusion Center for further analysis and validation of the very same information. And the process of validation and analysis has been concluded. Today, on the 25th August 2000, the very same year, Fusion Center has submitted a report with evidence to ourselves. And we have since managed to open a criminal case for 241 government employees and also 657 company directors. And we are currently busy packaging evidence in line with other categories. And on the question of 241 government employees, we are collaborating with DPSA in that they assist in coordinating and monitoring disciplinary action. And in terms of recovery, we are going to recover in terms of Section 300 of Criminal Procedure Act, which will be led by Fusion Center. So basically, we will be opening cases in phases. But currently, we have open targeting 899. And in the coming week, we'll be opening a case involving 2,000 on another category. So basically, that is where we are. And of course, there is a process of additional validation from our side before we package for criminal prosecution purposes. I thank you.
Over to you, DG.
Thanks, CEO. I thought CFO is also coming in. Is he not coming in? CEO, is CFO not coming in?
It was more in relation to the systems, DG, in terms of what did we spend to that we did. CFO, can you come in, or Diane?
CEO, I don't have that info. Oh, sorry, there's CFO. Maybe he can answer.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. As part of the investments that SASSA has done, when we started with the grant itself, Honorable Chair, we were planning just to at least have a direct system enhancement for 4.5 million. That had to do with configuration of the system that we needed to implement. The bulk of the money that we required, which was 296 million, which we only spent a portion of it, was more of the other support activities that we needed to deal with. So that included the issue of the SMS notification, the use of the USSD, the communication and marketing, looking at the bank charges, and also looking at having some transaction fees for SAPO and also for the banks. But in terms of directly for the system enhancement, it was 4.5 million. Subsequent to that, when the president extended the grant, we spent another additional 5 million. And for now, we are also considering actually a system enhancements and maintenance and support just to be about 23 million. So that's what we're currently considering in terms of the investments that SASSA has made around the system enhancement, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much.
You're muted, DG.
Unmute yourself, DG. We can't hear you. You are still muted, DG.
I'm not sure if you can hear me now, Chair.
Yes, we can hear you now.
Ah, thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. And apologies, my network is not very good. Thank you. I think... we've responded to a bulk of the questions. I wanted to raise about four issues very quickly. The first one is that we have tried to also try and improve our communications, particularly to people who may be wanting to apply for the second iteration of the grant, so that you know, people have it a lot easier in terms of how to access the system, how to navigate the system, and basically get through the entire application process, because we found that there was a lot of errors that people were making whilst doing the application. So we're trying to improve that so that we also don't make the mistake. In some cases, we'll find that people genuinely made mistakes in terms of putting their various numbers and so on and so forth. So those are areas that we're trying to address by improving our communication. I just wanted to also indicate that even though the sort of 67,000 or so people who should not have received the money received the money, even though it represents, I think, just below 1% of the total payment or so, we are making concerted efforts to ensure that we address this challenge of ensuring that people are cut out of the system who are not deserving to get the additional, sorry, to get the 350 grant. So, for example, as indicated earlier, we've strengthened even our relationship with the Auditor Chamber, where in instances where we didn't have data from a number of areas, for example, there was the Spaza Shop support scheme. The AG found that there were people who were accessing the Spaza Shop support scheme, which is a social relief measure, but were also accessing the 350 grant. And so we did not catch that because we struggled to get that data from our sister departments. And then there was also the sport entertainment relief, a COVID relief measure, for example. So people were getting support from that end, but were also double dipping on the 350 grant. And we are confident now that with the systems that we have in place and with the strengthened relations that we have with the Auditor General, this is something that is going to move fast as we process the second iteration of this grant. And I think we'll be able to then push out any errors or possible fraudulent activities that may occur in that we would be working very closely with AG in that regard. So we'll be able to catch those quite easily. I wanted to just highlight a very significant point, two maybe. One is around the manner in which we ask people to apply. We thought that a paper-based system was going to be extremely complex because of the time that we have, but we have made adequate means to ensure that even those in the most rural of areas are able to still access the grants. We have people who would go out to them and assist them in terms of accessing, the application process, etc. So if we were not to use the electronic method, it would have been extremely difficult. And I think the measures that we've even introduced, so even those who don't have your advanced phones or don't have internet, the USSD option is available to enable people to apply for the grant. And the reason why we thought we needed to do it electronically because it's quicker and it may improve our efficiencies. It's not perfect, but it's certainly better than doing it through a paper-based system. And I think that that's a useful aspect. And again, I think just to indicate that everybody who applied for this grant, 100% of the people who applied for the grant, all did so electronically. And that's because of the additional measures we are able to do to put out. So this was all a digital application for this grant. And I think that that's important even for the future of the work that we're doing as a country and indeed as a government. This also helps us to get access to the data, which is critical. An important aspect that members may be interested in, not necessarily aligned to this presentation, but just to say that, you know, a different thing that we did this time was to get a sense of the level of sort of qualifications of those who are applying for the grant. You know, to get a sense of where they are. And you'll be surprised, Honorable Chair, that so many people are actually graduates who have applied for this grant. And it just highlights the depth of the challenges around unemployment in the country, where people are struggling to access employment, that they would resort to getting the 350 grants. Graduates, people who have gone through the education system and succeeded in that regard, are struggling to find work. So as long as the challenges persist in terms of the economy not creating adequate jobs, this relief measure remains relevant and remains important, especially with the current COVID-19 pandemic that we face. And of course, there's a bit of work that we're also doing in the background around a possible basic income grant and so on moving forward. So those are all discussions that are underway. But lastly, Honorable Chairperson, just to indicate to you that, the point that the CEO raised, I want to just reiterate that point, that the significance of the major change with the second iteration of the grant is the fact that now caregivers are able to access the grant. Previously, caregivers were not able to access the grant. And for that precise reason, that they were getting the grants, even though they were the conduits and getting the grants not for themselves, but for the kids that they look after. At this point, we realize that a number of caregivers, by the way, about 98-99% of which are actually women, are now going to have access to the grant. That for us is a significant move because it wasn't the case previously, and there's even an additional allocation in the current iteration for this grant. So this is a major step for us moving forward, in that we're able to extend the support, particularly to women who are taking this. Honorable Chair, I would leave it at that really just thank the members for the questions and the clarity-seeking questions. I hope we've been able to respond adequately. Thank you very much, Chair. I think the Minister may be back, Chairperson, to do some remarks as well. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Linton. Minister Zulu, are you back on the platform?
Yes, Chairperson, thank you so much.
Over to you, Minister.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and I appreciate the questions from the members. And as usual, Chairperson, I normally say if members are not happy with any of the responses, we usually are very ready to put it in writing where necessary, because as I've always said, Chairperson, we appreciate the role of the NCOP, but also just Parliament in general. I think that there must also be an appreciation of the fact that we are responding to the AG's findings. And usually when we respond to the AG's findings, we don't only just respond by saying, this is what we think happened. We also look towards improving our systems in the best way that we can. And in this particular case, as a department overall, and in particular during this period of COVID-19, I think that the arm that has been under extreme pressure in terms of the DSD portfolio has mainly been SASSA, because it is the people who lost their jobs. As I said in my opening remarks, the people who used to go out and fend for themselves were unable to do that now. And therefore the 350, and I understand the question about the fact that the 350 is not adequate, but I do want to make the statement that we are in a difficult situation of competing priorities by government. And the very same people also that we are giving the 350, we need to be able to also look at other issues that are of importance to them, whether it's the schooling for the children, whether it's the clinics, whether it's the support that we give as government in general by all means. And also the fact that we were really, really caught off guard completely. The entire world was caught off guard with this COVID-19 and its impact. And so we were happy when the 350 was then extended to the next financial year. But I do want to say that in the very beginning of the first tranche that we were paying, it was ourselves as the ministry and the department were looking at then what once the 350 has come to an end last year in October. Again, it was extended. And then we asked the question, then what? And that's when we were then, the department brought onto my attention and the attention of the DM, who was aware of it before, that is the basic income grant. And we are in the process of really pushing for this basic income grant, because we think that it answers the question around, we are paying 350 right now for those who lost their jobs and all, but when you look at the presentations that were made, I think SASSA was able to specifically indicate that we've got already 11 million applications. And within those applications, obviously, we know that we have to process and make sure that we, whenever we pay to the right people. And we have also been using this period to improve our systems in general. And we will continue to do so, because I personally believe that this is work in progress. This is giving us an opportunity to shake our systems and demand that our systems also talk to each other. The data that we have and data that Home Affairs and other departments that they have needs to talk to each other. And I must say, Chairperson and honorable members, right out there in the public domain, and especially to the people who are creative, there are lots and lots of systems that are in place that we would like to use in future, but of course, ensuring that we go through due process, because when all is said and done, it's about how do we, dealing with the competing priorities, prioritize the people of South Africa who are poor, who are unemployed, and also the issue of inequality. So I'd like to thank you very much, Chairperson, for this opportunity. And again, for me, clarity is always at the center of everything. We always need to clarify, but more than clarification is about responding with adequate systems that can help improve where the AG has found us wanting. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much, honorable members. And thank you to the department and the all officials who are here, both at DSD, SASA, and NDA.
Let me take the opportunity to thank the department and the minister for their brief responses. Members, I think we have come to the end of the meeting with the department, and I think we are more enlightened on questions that you were still battling with after receiving the brief responses from the department and of the minister. I hereby want to thank the minister for always availing yourself, Minister Zulu, throughout your busy schedule and always honoring the invitation coming to us. I did receive your apology, so I was very surprised to see you in the meeting, but I need to thank you for that. Members, allow me then to escort the minister, Mr. Linton, and the officials out of the meeting so that we can continue with our work. Thank you, Mr. Linton, also for your availability and your staff.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Do you have minutes, by the way?
Yes, we do have a member.
Yeah.
I will ask
members shouldn't just forget them.
Yeah. I will ask them to be late to
fly. It was a very long day.
It was a long day. And tomorrow we are presenting our NYDA report.
Yeah.
Tabi. Tabile, are you there?
Yes, Chairperson. I'm just trying to share the document.
Thank you, my dear. Members, there we've got the report. Sorry, of the Select Committee on the Health and Social Services and the Annual Performance Plan Budget for 20 of the Department of Women and Youth and Persons with Disabilities for the 2021-22 financial year dated 31st August 2021. I know that you have received all this minutes and reports already, so I need to ask, first of all, is there any corrections, members? So if not, can I have a move?
From me, no, Chair. I think we've had this for quite some time, so there's really nothing of significance.
Can we then have a mover for the adoption of this report?
Can I also just take the opportunity and move for the adoption of the report, seeing that I'm on the floor now? Thanks.
Thank you, Member Chabaleng. Is there a seconder?
Ndongeni, Chair, seconded.
Thank you, Member Ndongeni. The next one, Tabi. Okay, members, the draft and the minutes of the virtual meeting of the Select Committee on Health and Social Services of 17th August 2021. It was a briefing by the Department of Health, the mitigating the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, consideration of committee minutes, budget reports, and third term program. You received this already, members. So can I ask for a mover of the adoption?
No, the Chairperson.
Yes.
There's no objection from me, and I move that we adopt the minutes as a correct reflection of the 17th of August. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Member Chabaleng. Is there any seconder?
Malika, is second.
Thank you, Member Maleka. I think, Marcel, we don't have any... Tabile, there's no more, ne?
Yes, Chairperson, that's it.
Thank you, Tabile. Members, let me then take the opportunity to thank you after a very long day for always availing yourself and for your participation into this meeting. Also, thanks to our support staff members. Enjoy your evening. Tomorrow is another long day. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye, my dear. I miss you.
Miss you.
Miss you all.
Next week in your 32nd JPM, Zobuyela Gengo. Next week, Wednesday.
But why?
That police, ne? Dilin, and then the registration, no, and almost a month. That's all.